Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord, and that we're to enter your courts with thanksgiving, and we're to enter in with praise and worship, Lord. And God, that's why we sing to you. That's why we worship you, Lord. We exalt you because you're worthy. Lord, it has nothing to do with how we feel or what's going on around us, Lord. You are worthy of our praise and worship. You are worthy for us to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting, as Paul wrote to Timothy, Lord. The shout of praise, Lord. All those words of worship, Lord, bowing down to you, loving you, Lord. That's what you're looking for, people who will worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, we just worship you. We exalt you. We give you praise right now. We give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we got a lot to learn about worship, y'all. We're not even scratching the surface around here. Hopefully we will go a little deeper in the days ahead. Amen. But how many of you know there's, what is it? If I remember correctly, what are the 7 different words in the Hebrew that are describing different types of worship? Some of them are shouting. That's why you hear me shout. I know some people might think that's strange, but I'm a shouter because, you know, I tore my Achilles a few years ago, so I don't dance very much anymore. And it's not because I'm trying to act or anything. It's in my heart. You know what I'm saying? But bowing down, raising hands, all of that's in the scripture. All of that's part of our worship. It's not just singing. And it's, you know, I tell people worship's a physical thing. You know, it's you reacting and honoring God with your spirit, soul, and body. Amen? All right. Well, you may be seated. I guess I should have told you that already. Y'all didn't have to. Back in the old days, we sometimes worship services would be an hour and a half. So we'll get y'all back to that one day. Hallelujah. Well, everybody, take your Bibles this morning. I want to read a few things first, I think, here. But let's go to a familiar passage of Scripture this morning before we... I got a couple of videos I want to show you this morning. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Can I just go ahead and tell you that the mark of the beast is developing, y'all? Remember I said a few months ago, maybe a year ago, how there were different aspects to it, but that it would all eventually come together, and that COVID-19 and the vaccines and the vaccine passports, that was just one aspect. That's just one part of it. But when it becomes universal, when it becomes worldwide and mandated upon us. And let me just tell you right now, the mechanisms I'm going to show you today to bring the COVID-19 passports, a new digital dollar that's coming, and the crazy prophet of the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab's prophet that we're going to show you, Dr. Harari, this morning. When they bring together all of this, and they're working on bringing it together quickly, it will be the mark of the beast. And you will be here. There's no pre-tribulation rapture. That's a lie that's been told to us. Jesus never taught that. You're going to be here for the mark of the beast. And how do we know this? We know this from Revelation chapter 20 and Matthew 24. But Revelation 20 is very interesting because it says that he saw those who were beheaded, those who had refused to take the mark of the beast. And they were beheaded for it. And he said, these are in the first resurrection. Whoa, whoa, time out. There's no such word in the Bible as rapture. It's a resurrection. It's the first resurrection. The dead in Christ, then we which are alive and remain. That's the rapture of the church. It's the first resurrection. And he says, those who resist the mark of the beast and are beheaded for it, says they will be in the first resurrection. So there's no way there's a resurrection before the first resurrection. Was there a negative resurrection or a zero resurrection? I don't know. There's no way. And Jesus said that, he told us in Matthew 24, he gave us a chronological sequence of events. I know there's people out there trying to say, Matthew 24 is for the Jews, it's not for us. No, it's for us. Stop with that nonsense. It's New Testament, New Covenant. What will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age is what they asked Jesus. And he gave them, these are the beginning of sorrows. Then this will happen. Then this will happen. Then this will happen. And then it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Why don't we put up that real quick? Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give off its light. Powers of heaven will be shaken. Let's look at it. Let's see when Jesus said the rapture is happening, not when man says it's going to happen. See, that's the problem. Jesus said immediately. Somebody say immediately after with me. Yeah. Wait a minute now. Don't they teach us before? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, meaning after this, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's the rapture of the church. There's the first resurrection. You put those two passages together, Revelation 20 and this, and you get it clearly. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. But, of course, there's much more I could go into. But I just want you to understand, you will be here, unless you die soon, you will be here for the mark of the beast. The church of Jesus Christ is not being taken out before these things happen. That's been one of the biggest lies that's ever been told to the body of Christ. Not going to happen. We will be here. So you need to know what's coming, and it's coming quickly. All right, so let's read, and I want to start reading. Of course, we know the beast coming up out of the sea. The United Nations, that's the beast. I mean, it's no question about it. The bear and all that. I'm not going to read all that this morning. I want to go over to the part about, let's go down to the second beast, verse 11. Now, remember, he talks about two beasts, one coming out of the sea, had seven heads and ten horns. That's the United Nations and the coming world government. The ten kings they will have and the seven heads, and all that's already in place. But he says there's a second beast that comes out of the earth. And he said, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. Now, I believe this is referring to the false prophet who will work with the Antichrist. I've always believed that the final pope would be the false prophet. All right? Though that's just, again, my guess. It could be someone else. But the pope will play a major role in bringing in this whole New World Order, this Antichrist system. But anyway, it talks about this second beast having the horns like a lamb, but it will speak as a dragon. Dragon is the devil. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that they that dwell on the earth, now listen to this, that they should make an image of the beast. Which, he said, they should make an image of the beast, to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image. Somebody say, give life to the image. This AI, folks. We'll get to this more in a minute, but this is artificial intelligence giving life to something that's not life, right? And it says he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and this image, this thing that comes to life, will cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, how is an object going to come to life and actually be able to kill you? You're going to find out today. Okay? And it says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So in your, under your skin, your hand, your arm, or in your brain, right? This is the Bible 2,000 years ago. This is Jesus revealing all this to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos around A.D. 95. He said that you're going to, he will cause all, meaning the whole world, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, or 666. Now let's go over to chapter 14 and read this, because people leave this out when they talk about the mark of the beast. Why is this so important? Why do I speak about this subject often? Because this is one of those things, if you do this, if you take this mark, there's no coming back from it. You will be damned. The smoke of your torment will go up day and night forever. You will be in hell forever. This is a total denial of Jesus Christ. And also, you as your temple, you will be forsaking it. You will be defiling it, changing it, if you take this mark. And it may even take away your ability to even come to know Jesus, to accept Jesus, to choose. And you're going to hear this today, not from me, from them, the ones about to do it. That free will's over, they say. They're going to hack your body, your mind, and they're going to control you completely. And the genetic editing with the vaccine was the beginning of this. It's not the fullness of it. Right now, there's still time to escape. Though, as Bobby was telling me this morning, people are dropping dead all around him from blood clots in their lungs from the vaccine right now. The people that he told not to take it, took it, and now they're dead. Within what, the last 2 weeks? This is not a game. This is, and you're going to hear the part of the agenda is to lower the population of the world. Because human beings, normal, natural human beings, won't be needed anymore. Because they're going to be enhanced now. Oh, you think this is crazy, but it's all here. But let's read Revelation 14 real quick before we play this first video. We're going to play the Dr. Harari video montage. Well, you can put his pictures up first, and we'll explain who he is. But this is Revelation 14. And we'll go down to verse 9. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. Somebody say forever. And they have no rest, day or night. So there's no such thing as annihilationism. You will spend eternity fully alive, either in heaven or in hell, with Jesus or with Satan. It's that simple. You will be in the place of the one you follow. And you can say you follow Jesus, but if you follow this world system, you're following Satan. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have to not follow the system. And the system will hate you, and the system will try to purge you from it. But let's keep going. What did he say there? He said, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So he's telling you, that if you take this mark, you are not keeping the commandments of Jesus or the faith of Jesus. You understand? This is vitally important. Because you think the coronavirus was pressure. And you think the pressure to get the vaccine was a lot of pressure. Just wait. Just wait. Maybe a few more months. Maybe even just another year or two. Okay? Well, let me show you Dr. Harari. Oh, my word. Are there some evil people rising up? Let me pull up my little bio of him. Go ahead and put his picture up there, and I'll find my little bio here. How many of you heard of Dr. Harari? How many of you really listened to Dr. Harari? This man is evil. This man is Klaus Schwab's closest advisor. He is scientist, futurist, philosopher, historian. He is openly gay, fully for transhumanism, believes that in the future there will be no normal Homo sapiens walking around, no more human beings. He said entities that no longer need to breathe air. You have to understand, most people would think that this guy is crazy, right? Normal folks like us would listen to this guy and go, if you didn't know that he was connected to the most powerful people in the world, that he's a keynote speaker at the World Economic Forum in Davos, that he's Klaus Schwab's right-hand man. They call him the prophet. Oh, it's getting a little too close to, right? Well, let's play this little montage. He's an Israeli Jew as well. And he hates God. He hates Christianity. He says Jesus is fake news. So let's listen. It'll be a few minutes, but listen to this. Is just a montage. Believe me, there is more, but I'm just giving you a little insight to this guy. All right, listen closely.
This is the crucial revolution, and COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin. Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition? Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
I know that in recent years, we saw populist politicians undermining deliberately the trust that people have in important institutions like universities, like respectable media outlets. These populist politicians told people that, say, scientists are this small elite, disconnected from the real people. We shouldn't believe them. And you had all these conspiracy theories that climate change is just a hoax, it's not real, and that the earth is actually flat, and that vaccinations are bad for you. And this spread. But I don't think it's too late. Especially in an emergency, people can change their views very fast, and they can discover hidden reservoirs of trust. You look in this crisis,
who do people trust? They trust scientists above everything else in all countries. In Israel, they closed down the synagogues. In Iran, they closed the mosques. Churches all over the world are telling people don't come to church. The Pope is doing all these ceremonies on Zoom or YouTube. And why do they do all this? Because the scientists recommended it. Even the religious leaders have trust in the scientists.
Yeah. And the easiest people to manipulate are the people who believe in free will. Because you manipulate them, and they don't even suspect, because, hey, I chose it because this is my free will.
We need some kind of global loyalty and global identity.
Earth will be populated or even dominated by entities that are not organic, that they don't breathe, they don't have emotions. Like, the potential of AI is much, much bigger than any historical revolution. It's really a biological revolution.
There is no such thing as free will.
And now if you give the tools to start changing or overcoming biology, just, you know, think about sex life. Mm-hmm. Almost every religion and every ideology wanted to really change human sexuality or limit it, but they couldn't. You had vows of chastity in the church, and how many people actually lived up to the vows of chastity? Now think, if you can really start messing with human biology, what will be the result of these sexual fantasies of different religions and ideologies?
Then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
An algorithm is able to take into account thousands and thousands of data points, each with a very small weight. And if you ask why the algorithm rejected my request for a loan, so the bank can print out millions of pages of data and tell you, that's why. The algorithm went over all this and calculated that you're not creditworthy. And our minds just can't understand this type of decision making. And it can be on a personal level. It can also be on the level of an entire country, that to decide whether to raise or lower interest rate, for example. It will not be done by a human banker or finance minister. It will be done by an AI. Already today, how many people really understand the financial system? I guess less than 1% of people really understand finance. In 20 years, the number of people who will be able to understand the global financial system will be exactly zero.
Good evening, Mr. Harari. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us tonight. My question indeed is a bit more personal. You've called yourself a prophet tonight, or you use the word...
I repeatedly denied.
Yeah, well.
How do you feel being so influential? I mean, it has happened probably in the last few years, no?
Again.
I mean, I'm interested in actually, you have power somehow to convince leaders. How are you yourself?
So I now have a team that is helping me deal with that. It's impossible to deal with such a thing just on just one person. So mm-hmm. people see me and they think I'm doing everything. I actually do very little. And the people who really work hard are my team members who uh-huh. organize this and everything.
I'll send you a CV.
And also, I repeatedly tell people that they shouldn't see me as a kind of prophet or guru. I don't know what will happen in 10 years or 20 years. I'm an historian, I'm not a prophet. I try to open people's minds to different possibilities.
You hear it now, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And you remember, there's this passage of scripture in Matthew 24. Let's go back there real quick. I have one more. We have one more video, a little shorter one to show you here before we really get into this. But I want you to see what's happening. Barack Obama praises this guy. Biden, all of them. This is the guy, all right? Now listen to this. This is Matthew 24, verse 21. Speaking about the tribulation period. He says here, Jesus says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved." You understand? No human beings left. No normal, genetic human beings. We've always interpreted that to mean that, oh, just everybody be wiped out, which is possible. Nuclear war or anything else like that. But still, I think it's even deeper than that. I think what is going on, when he is talking about the human body is now hackable, what he is talking about is CRISPR-Cas9 technology. He's talking about gene editing. He's talking about the mRNA technology, that now they can go in and do anything they want with your DNA. They can change. And Klaus Schwab even says it. He says the coming fourth industrial revolution is not about changing the world in a sense, or changing things. It's more about changing you, changing the human being, incorporating the digital into the biological. Well, isn't that what the Bible always told us? This is why I know the Bible's true, folks. It was so specific about things 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago were written down in this book, specifically about the end, about the time just preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ, what it would be like. And I believe the Lord did this so specifically so that there would be no doubts. Remember, he said, "I have told you these things before so that when they happen, you will believe." Right? Well, they're happening. Let's play the Glenn Beck. This is the short version of this, but the digital dollar that's come. See, some of you don't even know what's happening, because right now the whole Russia-Ukraine war is to distract you from everything else they're doing right now. Let's go ahead with it.
Ago, during the chaos or serious crisis of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Biden felt the timing was oh so perfect to announce a new executive order on cryptocurrencies. Now, some would say the timing here was weird, but you and I know the exact timing on this is exactly what they wanted. The end of the executive order is what's most interesting. It says, quote, "Explore a U.S. central bank digital currency, CBDC, by placing urgency on research and development of a potential United States CBDC should issuance be deemed in national interest." Now, Biden can't force the Fed to start implementing a digital dollar, but he can urge them into action by declaring it a priority. Uh-huh. This is what he's announcing. He's also trying to make it appear as if this is something new, as if the Fed hasn't already been working on it, and our Treasury Department. Spoiler alert, it's almost already here and done. Biden requested progress report within the next 6 months. That means we could see something major by as early as September. If they're already doing behind the scenes work, as Biden says, It's going to be scary because there already has been a lot of work. We got it all ready to roll out. Let me show you a collaborative effort between the Boston Fed and MIT. They have already claimed to have created the code for the U.S. digital dollar. It's called Project Hamilton. It's out in the open. The name is significant, as Hamilton was the first to advocate for a central bank. Make no mistake, the digital dollar is all about centralization and control. That's why they say in these projects, why they say we can't use blockchain, because we need to be able to see. It's the opposite of what digital currencies like Bitcoin were created for. Keep in mind, Biden's executive order a couple of weeks ago asked the Fed to solve the digital dollar puzzle. But the Fed has already announced they've solved it. You can go to their website and even collaborate on code writing. The entire 35-page white paper is published online. So, what did they come up with? It's exactly what we feared it would be. Blockchain makes Bitcoin a juggernaut in privacy and decentralization, but the new digital dollar doesn't use blockchain. The Hamilton system, controlled by the Fed, verifies all transactions. There would be a record of everything you spend your money on. Okay. There'd be no privacy. Okay. And the Fed is your banker. There would also be no auditing of what the Fed does with the money. They could generate $10 trillion and give it to Hunter Biden and no one would ever know. Well, there would be a rush on hookers and cocaine, so we might figure that one out. Financial experts are already screaming that this will be the end of the banking system. If you've already tried to decouple from the large banks and gone to local small banks and credit unions, the digital dollar will destroy them. Now, with that said, also the big banks. But who cares? Because the big banks just have fancy names like Bank of America. They're all owned by the Fed. It's one group. This audience helped tank the appointment of Biden's secretary of his treasury pick, Saul Almarova. She had written papers on the need to end the banking system. She wanted to make the Fed the issuer of all bank loans. Well, if the Fed is your banker and small banks would die a painful death, I guess that job could be done. We didn't know at the time if she would have done it if appointed, because we didn't know about Project Hamilton. Almarova was forced to withdraw, but the system is being built regardless. I said earlier that central bank digital currencies are essential for the Great Reset. The digital dollar is the ultimate enforcement mechanism for anyone who doesn't go along with whatever they say. This is the Canadian system that they used against the truck drivers, except they don't need any special emergency orders. Last year, the Bank of England implementing a digital dollar, but he can...
All right, it glitched out on me, and as you can tell, it's glitched, but hold this right here. Bank of England tells ministers to intervene on digital currency and making it basically programmable. Bank of England has called ministers to decide whether the central bank digital currency should be programmable, ultimately giving the issue control over how it is spent by the recipient. So this is the opposite of blockchain. This is not blockchain technology. This is not privacy. This is not individuals, what do they say? Verifying the transactions. No. This is one centralized digital money that they will be able to control. Meaning, if you're not a good little boy, a good little girl, and do what they want you to do, and think how they want you to think, and speak how they want you to speak, then you don't get to spend your money because it's programmable. They actually said, too, like you go and deposit your check from work, that they actually like can put in there, if you don't spend that money within a month, then it's gone. It's no longer yours. This is what we're talking about. Total control through money. But it's all going to be connected back to something implanted in your hand or your forehead or your brain. Now, this is not conspiracy theory. This is not, wild futuristic speculations. They are working on this. Did you hear it? MIT, executive order from whatever he is in the Oval Office. Folks, I want to tell you, we are speeding down this track very quickly. And everybody's going to have to decide, what am I going to do? Which way am I going to go? Who am I going to follow? What am I going to do with my finances? I think some decisions need to be being made here rather quickly on what to do The system is going to, sooner or later, and I don't know how long, I can't predict how long. I'm just telling you, sooner or later, they're going to put the clamps down on it. And if you don't submit to their system, you know, you guys think this stuff is gone away, but, you know, I'm supposed to be interviewed on Tuesday by, what is it, TVM or VTM, whatever it is, the NBC station in Birmingham. You know what they told me on the phone? They told me that because I'm not vaccinated, I can't come in their building. They have to interview me on the balcony overlooking Birmingham. I'm so, that's fine with me. We'll find out who's vaccinated in this race and who's not. But I thought to myself, they said that's the policy of our whole company. Well, that's whichever one they are, NBC, CBS, one of them. But that's the policy of the whole company. So that means everybody working for CBS or NBC, whichever one it is, that means they're all vaccinated. And just wait, you think this stuff hadn't gone away. Like, you know, Kay Ivey says she stood up to Biden's mandate. She didn't stand up to anything. People are still losing their jobs. People are still being forced or coerced or pushed to get this. And, you know, here we have a business that's in Alabama, a TV station. You can't come in our building if you're not vaccinated. What? What if they said I couldn't come in as a gubernatorial candidate for Alabama? What if they said I couldn't come in and be interviewed because I'm not vaccinated? Do you see how that's beginning to interfere with the election? No, this is all about control. Satan and this whole system is wanting to control us. And they're going to do it. This is what I'm saying. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. And as Christians who know we're not bowing to this system, we're not taking their vaccines, we're not taking their gene editing technology, we're not taking their implantable chips, we're not submitting to the system. And you say, well, what are we going to do? Well, that's going to be the good question about it. Maybe be completely end up back on a complete bartering program. I know where I can get some eggs down the road. But it may be that. But you sit back and go, this can't be happening. Oh, yes, it's happening. It's happening. So what are we supposed to do? Well, number one, let me just say this, and I'm not gonna preach long today, because this is just what I felt like the Lord wanted me to show you. But number one is you got to make sure that you know Jesus. Not just that you know about Jesus. You got to make sure you know Jesus. You got to make sure you are born again through faith in his shed blood on that cross and his resurrection from the dead, and that he's come into your heart, and that you know that he has washed your sins away. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you are born again and saved, not because a preacher told you, but because the Holy Spirit has borne witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. You better know that way. It better be more than a mental exercise. You better have had a supernatural born-again experience with Jesus Christ where he is absolute Lord of your life, and you know it. Like I heard preachers say many years ago, if you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it and not miss it. Let me tell you, when you get saved, you know it. When you are born again, you know it. It is a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ. It is not simply a mental exercise. It is something that happens in your spirit, and you feel it. You experience it. It is real. All right? It's not just saying, I believe, sign this card, be baptized, and that's it. And you're secure forever, no matter how you live. No, that's not the way it works. I know that's what the Baptist church teaches, but they're dead wrong, and they've been wrong for a long time. Knowing Jesus, repentance of sin. Repentance means you confess it and you forsake it. You don't say, oh, Lord, forgive me, and keep doing it. That's not repentance. Repentance means you turn around. You reform your life. I mean, when you get the word metamorphuo is one of the Greek words for repentance. What does that sound like? Metamorphosis, doesn't it? What does that mean? Complete transformation. If you're a drug addict and you get born again and you repent, you're not a drug addict anymore. If you're an adulterer and you get saved and you repent, you're not an adulterer anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're a complete transformation. You should be different. I'm not, you know, when I got saved, when I repented of my sin, you no longer saw me hanging out in the bars, drunk and fighting people. Right? There was a transformation. There must be a transformation. So you have to ask yourself, have I been born again and have I truly repented of my sin and am I walking with Jesus? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you will not take up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy of me. It's not about just believing. I know that there's the whole church world, oh, just believe. It's by faith. Well, James said faith without corresponding actions is dead being alone. You can't say you know God, profess you know God, and in works deny him. It's what Titus talks about. No, if you have been born again and you have repented, then the fruits of your actions will show that. How you live. So you got to make sure you are right with God. Then you've got to make up your mind. Prepare your heart. I don't make up your mind. I'm living for Jesus if I have to lose everything. I'm staying faithful to Jesus if they bring out the guillotines. I'm staying faithful to Jesus if they seize my bank account. I'm staying faithful to Jesus if they drag me off to a jail cell. Or now they're going to call them quarantine camps. Instead of concentration camps, they'll be quarantine camps. You have to make up your mind now. Am I willing not only to live for Jesus, no matter what, am I willing to live for him if it costs me my life? And that's where we're headed as well. This is foreign to the West, to Americans, to think like this. When I was in Nigeria teaching graduate students in the seminary there, many of them were getting ready as soon as they graduated to go into northern Nigeria. Well, to go into northern Nigeria to preach the gospel as a Christian was a death sentence. Because northern Nigeria is controlled by the Muslims, radical Muslims, Boko Haram and those types. When I was there, they were burning churches and killing thousands of Christians. When I was there in the South, I had to be guarded when landed at the airport. The bishop and chancellor of the ministry school, the theological seminary that I went to teach at, he was a former captain in the military there, served during their civil war. He had two Nigerian soldiers with AK-47s, one on each shoulder of mine, to get me from the Lagos International Airport to the local airport to fly to the South, because they knew they would try to kidnap me and kill me just because I'm a white person, either from Europe or either from America, one of the two. It's that dangerous there. And those people, though, I remember speaking to them one of the last mornings, because I stayed there for a month the first time in 2002. And I remember preaching this one morning about martyrdom and looking in the eyes of some of those that I had gotten to know, knowing that they would be leaving when I would be coming back home to the United States, that they would be going to northern Nigeria to possibly be hacked in pieces by a machete or their head cut off to go preach the gospel. And they knew that going in. But that's foreign thinking to Americans. In China, you're openly Christian. You pretty much are going to be guaranteed a prison sentence. And harassed, possibly killed. Now they're just taking Christians and religious people they don't like in China and just cutting their organs out and while they're still alive. This is the world we live. 2013, ISIS. You know what ISIS said? And they were telling the truth. ISIS said, we're just Muslims that are actually following Muhammad in the Quran. The ones who say that they're peaceful Muslims, they're not following Muhammad in the Quran. And what would they do? I don't know. Some of you see, my wife says, why do you watch these videos? I said, because I want to know reality. I want to see it. That doesn't mean she has to see it. But I watch them behead people, shoot people in the back of the head, hang pastors. Why? Because I wanted reality in my mind. That is the reality of our world. They almost extinguished Christianity in the Middle East thanks to Barack Obama. Who armed them? Obama. Who protected them? Obama and McCain. See, it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's a freedom and righteousness or New World Order, Antichrist, evil. That's what it is now, folks. Even Biden the other day, everybody's been on me because I talk about the New World Order on the campaign trail. And then here comes Biden the other day's speech. We are forming a New World Order. I guess Biden's a conspiracy theorist too. Yeah, Biden's late. You're late to the party, pal. No, you know what? It was Biden in 2005. If you go back, I have the video. 2005 Senate confirmation hearings of Justice John Roberts. And he says, Judge, day's coming. You will rule on if a small microchip can be implanted in human beings, and human beings can be tracked and traced everywhere they go. You will rule on that. Mark my words. That was Joe Biden in the Senate in 2005. You think that they didn't know he would be president to implement it in 2005? No, they knew. This all been planned. I think Trump was the anomaly that they have doing everything in their power to make sure he doesn't come back as well. Still, Trump needs to be enlightened on a few things as well. Hopefully, I'll get the opportunity to talk to him about these things because he needs to be enlightened on Bible prophecy, and I think if he was, he'd act differently on some things. His eyes would be open to some things. But I don't think, you know, if he's a Christian, I don't know if he is or not. He may think he is. I don't know if he's born again or not. Some people say he is. Some people say he isn't. I don't know. But even if he is, if we take that Trump is, he's a baby Christian at best. He does not know this book yet. So that's why he's been yanked around by bad players and made some bad decisions and had some bad people around him. We need to pray for him because more than likely he's running for president in 2024. And it's the next president of the United States, if Biden and Kamala get four more years, you can just go ahead and kiss it all goodbye. Bye-bye. It's gone. Right? That's why the reality is the only hope we have, I believe, is certain states are going to have to save themselves. Right? Alabama better save themselves here. And I hate to say most of my opponents have no clue about this stuff and what's coming. And that's just the way it is. And most people don't. This is the sad thing. Most people have no clue that this is speedily coming upon them. And they don't even have a clue. I mean, do you know that Pfizer just got approval to give that poison to infants? Gene editing, mRNA technology to infants. Who approved something like that? What kind of evil are we living with? It's unbelievable. It's criminal to give it to adults, but to babies. God, help us. Folks, the world is evil. And what did Paul say? He said what? He said, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you think about this guy. What kind of Dr. Harari? What kind of person is this? We just won't need so many human beings. Who makes that decision, Chief? Oh, but world depopulation, that's a conspiracy theory. And his buddy Bill Gates, if we do a really, really good job with new vaccines, we can lower the population of the world. If we do a really, really good job with new vaccines, yeah. Yeah, they're doing it because people are dropping like flies. They're just going to say now it's going to be blood clots, heart attacks. Oh, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. Oh, if you believe that, I've got, you know, some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. Real cheap. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it doesn't work. Killed my sister. Killing people all over the place. Yeah, I told that lady at the TV station when she's setting up my interview the other day. I said, she said something about being vaccinated. I said, oh, no, I'm not vaccinated, and it's not going to happen ever. I was like, she was like, what is this? I value my life. Yeah, choose life. Oh, folks. You know, I'm going to tell you, I always knew I would be preaching in these days. Even when I was a little child, I knew it. I was about 8 years old. I knew it. I had this knowing that I would be preaching about the coming of Jesus and everything surrounding it in the days it would be happening. And here we are. And folks, I could spend the rest of the morning, I could show you video clip after video clip after video clip. But him saying that we're going to be his gods. Boy, who does that sound like? Wait a minute. That's in the front of the book, too. That's the deception. We're going to figure out. And this is what they're doing. And this is, look, you got to, these wealthy people, these elite, these Satanists, these Luciferians running around to their little cocktail parties and eating their caviar and drinking their champagne and saying, yes, Dolly, we have figured out the gene editing code now. We're going to live forever as they drink. Yeah, that's what they're doing. We laugh, but that's exactly what they're doing. We're going to live forever without that God. That Jesus is fake news. Nobody, you're going to be a little grease spot smoldering. That's what we were talking about last night. Faith was like, oh God. She heard that. I played the video last night before we went to bed. She was like, yeah, that guy's in trouble. That guy's in trouble. Yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean, but to be that arrogant. We just don't need so many human beings. Well, what the heck are you, you? What is he, some kind of cyborg? I mean, but you know what he's describing. If you listen to him, and I listened to another video. It was about 30 minutes long while I was up all night. And I was like, this guy is describing Terminator. The machines. I mean, he's describing the Matrix. I mean, the human beings just trying to survive. The machines had taken over. The artificial intelligence and all the machines. That's where they want this to go. Have they lost their minds? He's talking about, listen to this. He was talking about one of the videos, separating consciousness from the human body. And basically putting it into some kind of synthetic, robotic entity. And I just thought about the one passage. The spirit without the body is dead. There's not going to be no transferring your soul, your spirit, your consciousness into some synthetic non-breathing apparatus. But this is where they think they're going to go. First, they're going to try to extend life by editing out, and we have a friend here on the inside who's actually working with them right now, Microsoft, the NIH, and the whole gene editing stuff that they're working on is really they're looking for the aging gene. They want to edit out the aging gene. You know, God put that in there, right? Remember, before the flood of Noah, man could live 1,000 years. And actually, man would have never died had man not sinned. But even after sin, Adam lived 936 years, Methuselah 986 years. And then after the flood, the Lord said, man's days will be 120. Boom, no more. The Lord put his own little editing tool in there. And they're trying to remove that. They're trying to find it and remove it. Because again, what did the devil say to Eve? God said, you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the apple. You eat of this tree and you will die. And Satan comes along and says, you can eat of it and you will not die. And this is talking about eternal life. Because there were two trees there. And the tree of life was, if you ate from it, you live forever. And what they want is, they want to live forever without having to submit to the God of creation, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to their Maker, the King of Kings, and the God of gods. And that's what they said. Look, if you go back to Psalm 2, put it up. When Psalm 2, when he says that the kings of the earth come together and they say what? Cast away his cords from us. Cast away the bands. Part of that means God's moral authority and control over us as the creator. They don't want it. But those cords and bands are also, I believe, a reference to his DNA he's given us. That they want to change forever. We don't want that DNA strand. You know what it says within that DNA strand, right? Yahweh. God's written it into the very code of our DNA. It's written in there. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. See, put up what is it, Psalm 139? When he says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He talks about how we were knit together. And it talks about we were woven together. And what we have found, what? With DNA strands, we were woven together, just like God said, in our mother's womb. It's a beautiful and amazing thing. I think it's the next one. Where's it? Fearfully and wonderfully made. What's the next verse? I don't remember now. The reins. The reins were the DNA, yeah. It's pretty amazing when you study this stuff out. But this is what they want to fool with. This is what they're trying to fool with. Now, really, they are. I mean, I have the video from Jennifer Doudna. She was the co-inventor of the CRISPR-Cas9 technology, basically the technology that allows them to go in, cut the DNA strand, insert what they want there. She said, we can make designer people. She said this in a TED Talk 2015. We can make designer people and designer babies. We can instruct your DNA to do whatever we want it to do, she said. But then they come along. That was 2015. They come along here in 2020. Oh, no, 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 no. The mRNA technology is not inserting anything into your DNA. No, no, it's not happening. It's just we're instructing your DNA to generate and create coronavirus spike proteins. That's all. Wait a minute. I didn't know my DNA did that before. No, it didn't. But we're not changing your DNA. We're not doing anything there. Nothing to see here, people. No. This is the beginning. This Pandora's box now is open. He even told you, we're basically what he said was, we're playing God now. We're God now. And isn't it interesting? I think this has to do with the whole spirit of Antichrist. If you go to 2 Thessalonians 12, when he says that he will sit in the temple of God and declare that he is God. Well, you think about, look, I believe there's going to be a literal temple, Jewish temple on the Temple Mount, and the Antichrist will be there. But this is also shows how he's attacking this temple. And Satan is trying to declare himself God over this temple and in this temple. And as we were made in God's image, now Satan's trying to remake us into his image. He always perverts. Satan perverts. He doesn't create. He perverts. And that's what this is about. The perverting of even our DNA. And folks, what he was saying there is, when he's talking about free will is over, what he's saying is, if we hack you enough, whether it would be gene editing technology, implantable chips, we get enough control of you, you will not have a free will. You will do what we in control tell you to do. And if you don't do it, you will die. Because then they can tell your chips and your programmed DNA, shut them down. And that's what we just read, folks, in Revelation. Everybody was instructed to make an image to the beast. And then the image began to speak and come alive. And then the image that came alive, if you don't worship, if you don't submit to the Antichrist and to the system, then the image of the beast kills you. There's going to be no more free will. See, the devil hates free will. God's always about letting you choose. You say, people, I wonder why evil exists. Well, the reason evil exists is because God gives you a free will to choose good or evil. But Satan's always been about wanting to control you and make you submit against your will. And that's why you see this whole system. That's why the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because God's all about, I want you to choose. Free. I want you to be free to choose. Satan's always about, I want you to be a slave to me. That's what Satan's about. So anything you see pushing freedom is of God. Anything you see pushing slavery and control is of the devil. That's easy. That's why we know this whole system that they're trying to create, this new world order, this one world government, this one world banking system, this one world economic control over everybody. They don't want you to have a free will anymore. They want you to be good little robots, good little slaves. I'm going to be frank with you. They probably only want us so they can try to have sex with our children. And I'm sorry to be so blunt, but these are sick, evil people that think they are above the rest of us. And this is why Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back this time, folks, he's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's not coming as the Prince of Peace. He's coming as the man of war. The blood of his enemies will be splattered all over his garments when he is done. He is coming back to destroy them because of what they've done to mankind, to the earth, to our children. Oh, no, he's coming. Just make sure you're with him. Remember, this life is temporary. Life with Jesus is eternal without having to serve the devil. That's the beautiful thing. We can have eternal life and never have to bow the knee to Satan or his system, ever. And I refuse to bow. Don't you know I know that one day they're coming for me? Do you know they're coming for you? Are you making enough? Are you making enough noise for Jesus to know for sure they're coming for you? Like I said, if it's not my day, it's going to be a bad day for them. You know, I had a vision one time, open vision. I was wide awake. I had this vision, like a movie playing in front of me. I have these sometimes, word of knowledge, prophetic vision. And I had this vision of a predator drone. I was like, I was standing back watching it all happen, flying toward my house, armed with missiles. They were going to hit my house. And I saw this predator drone flying along. And I saw this huge hand come out of the sky, swatted it down like a bug. I mean, like it was just nothing. Wow. It went straight down the ground, blew up. And the Lord was like, I got you. He's got us. You walk with Jesus, there's nothing impossible. You say, well, what about if they send UN a whole company of UN troops and tanks to your house? Well, if it's not my day to die, something bad's about to happen to some UN tanks and troops. If I be a man of God, we'll see what happens. You're rolling the dice there, UN troops. You're rolling the dice. I serve the Most High God. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I am not afraid. You better be afraid. Amen. We're going to do it going out crushing snakes. Let's stand. God is good. He loves his people. And we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives even unto the death. We are willing to live for Jesus, and we are willing to die if need be. Well, we will not bow to this system that they're creating. We will not defile our temples with their mark or with their alterations. We will not do it. And that's why they hate us. They hate Christians. They hate true Christians with a passion. But let's do this as our closing song. If you're here last night, you get the double dose today. But this is my theme song. Yeah, come on, give him a shout of praise. Back from the dead we've come. Now those of you out there that didn't get to hear the song Crushing Snakes, go listen to it, because we had to cut it off of the YouTube. What's that? All right, Facebook shuts us off, but Nancy posted. Let me tell you, that's the theme song right now. We're not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not depressed. I'm not discouraged. I'm looking forward to the battle. Amen. People are going to be saved. Lives are going to be changed. Miracles are going to happen. Jesus is going to be exalted no matter how bad these people want to get. You understand? We are going to go out in a blaze of glory. Amen? All right. You got... Hallelujah. Not going out like punks, as Bucko says. Not going out like punks. All right. Y'all hug some necks before you leave. What's that? Oh, and we have baptisms after church. Bye, y'all. So we do it on before.